This meeting will come to order. This is our November 2nd, 2021 regular meeting. We will pause for, ask you to stand for invocation and proceed with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Wayne Noah, will you lead us in prayer? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank everybody for being here. We appreciate a crowd in today's times. Appreciate any commissioner who's attending today here and our city manager, Mr. Jay Wilder, who is here as well, and Mr. Lee Smith, our county manager, who is online. Okay, for staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follow. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, I ask you to please use your raise your hand feature on your computer screen for those who are out in the computer world attending today's meeting. That's raise your hand on the computer screen. Do not use this feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, the chairman, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use raise your hand feature on your computer during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature on your computer. You have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Okay. Right now, I need approval of agenda. I need a motion.
Motion to approve agenda.
Second.
We'll do a verbal vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Approved. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. I want it to be known on November 23rd, 2021, we'll have a regular MPC meeting here at 1:30 p.m. for the Planning Commission. Okay. There are items requested to be removed. So you in the audience, either on computer world or here in the audience today, if you hear, which you may be sitting here waiting to hear, is not going to be here today, you may leave the room. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Item number 3, zoning map amendment, Sweetwater Station, zone from RA to RSF4. Item 4, rezoning map amendment, Wicklow Street, rezoned from BC and RSFE to RMF3. Item 5, rezoning map amendment, 700 Christopher Drive, rezoned from OIE to RMF 2-40. Item 6, minor subdivision variance request, 8624 Montgomery Road. And item seven, rezoning map amendment 7672 Johnny Mercer Boulevard. Is anybody here on these items? They are being removed from today's meeting. I need a motion.
Motion to remove those items 3 through 7.
Second.
We'll do a verbal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone against? Thank you. Now we move to consent agenda. Item 8, approval of the October 12th, 2021 briefing regular meeting minutes. Need a motion?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone against? Vote has it. Item 9, adoption of the 2022 calendar of meetings for the MPC. I need a motion to accept that.
Motion to accept the adoption of the calendar meetings.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Second.
Aye.
Anyone against? Approved. Now we go into old business. Item 10. Special use permit, 2301 Montgomery Street, vehicle sales, rental, and leasing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Melissa Lito, MPC staff. The petitioner is requesting approval for a special use pursuant to Section 3.10 of the Savannah Zoning Ordinance to establish a vehicle sales, rentals, and leasing use. The special use process includes review by the Planning Commission and the Savannah City Council. Should a permit be granted by the City of Savannah, it will be governed by the permit enforced criteria outlined in Article 3 of the Savannah Zoning Ordinance. I must mention the item received one letter of objection dated back from the October MPC meeting, as this item was postponed to today's date. The subject property is located on the corner of Montgomery and West 39th Street in the Thomas Square Historic Neighborhood. The subject property is 0.8 acres or 3,484.8 square feet and includes the following structures: a one-story structure with an attached carport, a detached carport, and a shed. The remaining parcel is surfaced in concrete. The subject property is located across the street from residential properties on Montgomery Street. The parcel abuts an abandoned one-story residential structure and is located across the street on West 39th Street from Wells Park. The applicant has made improvements to the property, which include creating six tandem display parking spaces for the subject cars for sale, and two customer off-street parking spaces, and painted the proposed sales office, which is the existing one-story structure on the property. As I mentioned last month, based on 1953 and 1966 Sanborn maps, the subject property was a residential parcel with a dwelling unit and transitioned to a used auto sales establishment. It was most recently a car washing establishment. When reviewing the special use, and if it's consistent with the intent, goals, and strategies, policies, guiding principles, and programs of the comprehensive plan and other adopted plans, staff's comment is that the TC2 district is established to ensure the vibrancy of historic mixed-use neighborhoods with traditional development patterns characteristic of Savannah during the streetcar and early automobile eras. The district provides for the creation of commercial corridors along higher classifications of streets that traverse historic neighborhoods. The requested use is consistent with this designation at this location within a mixed-use neighborhood. The petitioner has indicated their hours of operation would be Monday through Saturday from 8 to 5. The applicant has provided improvements of the property to staff since they presented on October 12th to the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. There are 6 tandem display parking spaces for the subject cars for sale and additional 2 customers off-street parking spaces. Staff finds there will be enough space for the proposed special use within those parameters. And as whether the subject property is adequate in shape and size, the existing structures, remaining parcel, and the on-site improvements submitted by the applicant appear to be able to accommodate the proposed use. Adequate public facilities are available to support the proposed use, and there will be no loss. Staff finds there will be no loss, destruction, or damage to any item of historic importance. No renovations or construction is being proposed as part of this special use. The subject property is in an area that is developed with primarily residential uses mixed with some retail use and a city park. Both the zoning classification and the land use designation are compatible with the proposed special use. Based on the applicant's improvements on site, it appears to be able to accommodate the request regarding adequate space, where it did not appear to have adequate space based on what the applicant submitted for the October MPC meeting. Staff recommends approval with conditions of the request. Conditions are the following. We have, per the city traffic engineer, if the planters, which I believe show, the applicant installed some planters on the, here they are, on the utility poles. If the planters placed within city right-of-way are to remain, an approved right-of-way encroachment permit will need to be acquired. If parking is provided on site, an ADA parking space will need to be provided. Please see the traffic engineer attached instructions and dimensions on details for the ADA parking space. And then traffic circulation striping directly in from the building will need to be removed. They tried to do an entrance and exit for customers, but that area is just not very compatible to circulation. And if any site work other than striping or routine maintenance is done to the parking lot, the latest site plan ordinance will apply for the site. And then MPC staff is recommending conditions. We are recommending that there shall have no more than 6 display cars located within the 6 tandem parking spaces. There shall be 1 off-street parking space designated for an employee and 1 off-street parking space designated for a customer. And there shall be no vehicular repairs conducted on site. And then lastly, the special use permit, if approved, shall not be transferable to another owner, that potential owner. Thank you. I'm here for any questions. And the petitioner, Wesley Dixon, and his associate, Omar, is here as well.
Okay, this time I'm going to ask the petitioner if you'd like to come forward. If you'd like to add anything to this or reiterate what you did. Said last meeting, please state your name for the record, and you have allotted 20 minutes. If need less, that would be great, but floor is yours, sir.
Hello, how y'all doing? My name is Omer Benson. We did everything that y'all required for us to do, and we don't want no car wash at all. We want to make it a used car lot. Only why we made it a car wash, just to protect our investment, to make money until we get to this point right here.
But you will be washing cars on the premises.
No, sir.
Where are you going to wash your car at for this?
Not washing cars no more.
Okay. But you got to keep them clean, right?
Yeah, our cars on the car lot.
Right. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the public.
We'll be washing the cars you're selling on the premises.
Yes.
You have drainage for that too?
Yes, sir.
Anybody have a question?
Yeah, I think the big sticking point was that you not work on the vehicles there. That's clearly understood, though.
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Mr. Noah?
I'm not sure the question should be for the petitioner, but staff maybe. Is the word repairs defined anywhere? I mean, are we talking an engine removal and replacement, or are we talking, when you say no repairs as staff recommendation, what do you mean?
If we have any repairs, we will send the vehicle that we brought to a body shop or automotive shop to fix the car.
And Mr. Noah, I think the intent of that is just that the business doesn't convert into a principal use auto repair facility. So I think it's covered.
I got one more question too.
Hold on, sir. There's somebody ahead of you. Mr. Welder.
Thank you. What is the operating hours you're proposing?
10 to 4, 10 to 6.
10 to 6. I would request too that becomes part of the conditions as well. Operating hour, is that Monday through Friday?
Yes, sir. Saturdays too. No Sundays.
I would request that those be part of the conditions as well. Thank you.
Ms. Jarrett.
I have a question, I think more for staff than for the applicant, about the parking and the required spaces, two off-street spaces. Is a handicap space required as well?
I talked to the civil engineer. He said, as far as private parking, you don't have to have a handicap parking space, but far as the street that's public, and that's something that the city got to deal with. Like far as I asked that question, can we get parking on Montgomery Street, a couple of spaces? He was like, that's a city issue.
Okay.
But every car lot on Montgomery Street, most people pull up on Montgomery Street that go into a car lot.
But this is a new application.
Yes, ma'am.
So we both spoke with Barry, the city's traffic engineer, and he stated that there is a requirement for one ADA parking space for the customer.
Okay, so there's two off-street spaces and one ADA space?
No, there's two off-street spaces, including one ADA.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That the ADA actually has to be revised because the measurements are not accurate.
That was kind of what the point of my question was. Once you put that ADA in there, how many spaces are going to be left for vehicles?
Yeah, so MPC is conditioning that one space be designated for the employee. So there would have to be, would there be enough for an additional 9x18 space?
Yes, ma'am. The employee is going to be one to two persons at the car lot. So it's not going to be that many cars up there. So if customers pull up, they have a adequate parking spaces.
I'm going to ask all commissioners, if you request to ask a question or speak, don't do so outright. And please state your name when you're talking to the mic before you ask the question or speak, if you don't mind, please. So we can be identified who's asking the question. Yes, sir. Mr. Joyner.
My name is Earl Joyner, and I think this is wonderful. Glad you guys are opening up a business in that corridor where there has traditionally been a car lot. My only issue, and this is probably a question for staff, is how is this conditional with this man? And then he goes to sell it, which is, you know, a right that he would be able to build this business, then try to sell it to someone else for whatever reason. And that would also be contingent on the city okaying that. That's my issue. That's a problem.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes, sir.
One of the things that's, I think the city and MPC have been discussing lately is through the special use permit process, which is what the applicant is seeking today. That process is in place where there's a series of uses in the zoning ordinance that may be allowed in the district, but require a public hearing essentially. In the past, under the old ordinance, a request like this would have gone to the Zoning Board of Appeals as a special use. We realize that the correct process, because this is similar to a zoning action, it has to be approved by the council. With that, if it gets approved, this petition or any special use petition, the permit is then granted to the petitioner. So that permit is the petitioner's permit. Should the applicant sell his business, then a new, if the non-transferable nature of the permit is adopted with this particular request, then a new buyer of that business would have to seek special use approval as well prior to, you know, buying the business. So it's not the same as a zoning case where once the zoning is in place, it's in place, it goes with the land. The special use permit is given to the applicant. So a new applicant in the case of a business transfer would have to go through that process as well.
Thank you, Mr. Austin.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Jarrett?
I'm afraid I've forgotten it.
No, that's okay. That happens. Any other questions from commissioners? Yes, Ms. Elizabeth.
Can you remind us?
State your name, please.
Oh, Elizabeth Epstein. Can you remind us the reason last meeting we, at that point, it was kind of deemed that we didn't have enough space on there for the use. Is it just that we're limiting this gentleman to the number of cars that he can sell?
The answer to that is to both is yes. I think during the previous hearing, the applicant had not provided all the information that he's provided today. So we've had more to work with since our staff met with him between last meeting and this meeting. So I think based on the conditions that we're recommending, particularly to the number of cars, that's something that is enforceable by the city. So should they inspect the property and there's 25 cars out there, then they can go back to the approval and say, hey, you were only approved for this many, you need to come into compliance. But we didn't have all the information that he provided to us at the time of our original recommendation.
And now that he's shown the striping, it's exactly where they'll be displayed then.
Yes, ma'am.
Terrific. Thank you.
Ms. Jarrett.
All right. And what I wanted to find out was if there were any additional, I'm sorry, Karen Jarrett, any additional comments made? I know that we had one letter in opposition last time. Were there any additional letters or comments between the last meeting and this meeting?
We have not received any additional comment.
All right. Thank
you. Any further questions from commissioners? Is anybody, thank you very much for your time, sir. Is any, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody from the public here today in the audience who wish to speak, make a comment? Is anybody out on a computer land? Thank you. There's not. Is any further discussion amongst us commissioners?
Can we just have them pull up the staff's recommendation with whatever?
Yes. These are the recommendations plus the city manager's hours stipulating 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
That was 10 to 6, sir.
Yes, per the applicant. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Noah? Nope. Any further discussion? I will seek a motion.
Motion to approve. With the conditions listed to include the city manager's 10 to 6 hours as requested by the applicant.
Second, Coles.
Okay, we'll take a vote. A call. Mr. J. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Rule Joyner?
Yes.
Mr. Tom Woodwoody? He's not here. Dr. Malik Watkins? Not here. Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin? Not here. Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Sheila Parker? Not here. Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yeah.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Joe Welch, yes. Motion passes, sir. Congratulations. Good luck in your venture. I know another car dealer sold only 5 cars out the front yard, and now he's got an empire. His name is Go COC. Okay, that's true. So, hey, you never know, right? Okay. So now we'll move on to item 13, special use permit. 210 Montgomery Street, Suite A, package and alcohol sales. Ms. Leto, you're going to lead the way. Thank you.
Yes, since the break of the pre-meeting to this meeting.
Wait a minute. I've jumped the gun. My bad.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We're okay. Old business. I'm sorry. Number 11, zoning map amendment, Ogeechee Road, multifamily, rezone request from PUD BC to R325. Sorry about that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an item on old business today. This item was heard at our previous meeting. The petitioner, as you mentioned, is requesting a rezone this property from PUD BC, which is a commercial designation, to a multifamily designation. Subject property is located here. This is a vicinity map showing the location of the property. It's a 20-acre portion of a tract of land that's approximately a little over 30 acres. It's near the intersection of Chatham Parkway and Ogeechee Road. This is a tax map that shows the portion of the parcel that the petitioner has requested to rezone. And this is a zoning map that shows the current zoning as well as the zoning of the adjacent parcels nearby. This aerial map shows the location of the subject property and the portion that the petitioner is requesting. And as I mentioned, they're requesting to rezone this for the purpose of developing this 20-acre portion as a multifamily development. At our last meeting, the hearing was continued so that the applicant could have the opportunity to meet with Chatham County engineering staff to discuss issues related to two primary issues related to one related to access onto Chatham Parkway at an existing access point located right here, as well as issues related to stormwater management. One of the things that came out of that discussion and what led to that discussion is the fact that county staff is concerned that should this property be annexed by the city of Savannah, then the review procedures related to the development portion of this project, whenever that comes through, might not give the county an opportunity to see those plans and comment on the stormwater issues as well as the access issues. Chatham Parkway is a county facility, so they do have authority to make review comments related to access to that roadway, even though these access points shown here are city rights away. The applicant met with the county staff. They discussed both of those issues related to access and stormwater. The applicant has agreed essentially to allow the county, should the property be annexed, full review as it relates to those two issues. And I can let the applicant who is here in the chambers today speak to the nature of that discussion. But I think, you know, this is an issue that's come up before as it relates to property that starts out in one jurisdiction, ends up in another jurisdiction, and who reviews it. Right now, as a zoning matter, it's not as significant, but under a development review process, this property could be developed totally within the county and then later annexed into the city, or it could be annexed prior to development. All those things are a little bit unknown. But are important issues as it relates to the development side of this project. So should an applicant come through and request annexation, then the city could, you know, make a decision regarding that. But depending on when that occurs, it would either leave in or leave out Chatham County from a review standpoint. And they do have concerns both about making sure that they review the stormwater on the project as well as that access point. Staff had, in review of the zoning petition, had recommended approval with conditions, and the meeting, I guess, that was held doesn't really affect our position from a zoning standpoint, understanding that those issues that were brought up are really more of a development issue. But as I mentioned, the applicant is present. I'll be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, if there are any at this point.
Yes, sir. I'd like for the applicant, if he'd like to come forward. Please state your name for the record, sir, and you have 20 minutes if need be.
Yes, I'm John Rowers with Lamara Company, and I represent the Enterprise Bank of South Carolina, who's the owner of the property. As was stated, we're taking a commercial piece of property and zoning it to a multifamily. The questions last meeting pertaining to the drainage and the traffic flow onto Chatham Parkway, we met by webinar with the county engineer's office, and they wrote up a request or a statement as far as their ability to review, as well as the city would be in the event this is annexed into the city. And due to the reason that the county just completed a drainage project unto itself, there's no reason not to allow them to review something they've already been involved with, actually for a couple of years now. We believe that the zoning on this property will cause less traffic than it would be if it was a commercial venture. Something of that size could be a large retail project. We think that this is something, the zoning to a multifamily is something that you hear over and over again about the need for affordable housing. This is a perfect example of it. It's behind, it's not to be intrusive to any neighborhoods, because we border a railroad track, we border the Chatham Parkway, and we border commercial ventures. So if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Are there any questions? Ms. Jarrett, please state your name.
Aaron Jarrett. This is going to be affordable housing?
All housing created has some aspect of affordable housing, but this is a piece of property owned by a bank, and they're selling it to a developer. Now, when we get to the process of site plan review, it very well may, but at least a portion of it would be, it may all be, I don't know.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
This is probably...
State your name.
Wayne Noah. This is probably for staff, but the adjacent property is zoned, the part that is not hatched in. What is the zoning of it?
It's commercial. It's all one parcel right now. It's all zoned commercial.
Okay, and what about the parcel to the west? Yeah, right there. RA.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Does anybody on the computer, commissioner, have a question? Okay. Thank you, sir. Does anybody in the audience wish to speak on this? Not here at the building and not in the computer world. I'm going to open it up for any further discussion amongst commissioners. Mr. Noah?
Wayne Noah, one last question for staff. One of the conditions, I believe you, was the word reviewed by county? Say it were annexed in, is it reviewed by county or approved by county staff? Do you follow my...
I think so, Mr. Noah. I think the language is review, but I think any review suggests that it's either going to be approved or not approved by the body who's reviewing it. But I think we can certainly amend that language, and, you know, because this has to go to the county commission for a zoning hearing, you know, that kind of language can be addressed.
That is if it stays in the county. If it were to be annexed prior to for development,
Well, I mean, I think the zoning is going to go forward regardless of whether it gets annexed or not to Chatham County. If the board takes action on this today, any action, then we'll be forwarding it to Chatham County immediately for a hearing over there for the zoning. Now,
but as far as development standards that they would have to meet, if they were to annex after the rezoning before.
Mr. Noah, this is Melanie Wilson. If this property were annexed after it was zoned, then it would be basically we would still make the request, and I'm sure that the city would abide by allowing the county to review it. But at that point in time, you know, if it's annexed, it's usually annexed with the zoning that's in place, and then the property will get rezoned to a city zoning classification. So at a minimum, the county would still have the option to review it, but there's no way that we can, you know whether the city would allow them to have approval authority. Hopefully that's a little bit clear with regards to your question that you're asking.
Correct. I'm fully aware and I understand. I just want to make sure the city has authority to approve and the county.
They would if they annexed.
Because of the impact.
This is Jay Melder. A question and maybe in response to that, Commissioner, that speaking on behalf of the city, we fully support the condition that this property would be built to county standards. And at any point, should the property owner petition to annex in the city and whatever event council would take on that action, if that ever comes, we would also support a mandate that those be built to county standards as well, but would appreciate the review and not the approval from that county.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion? Now I'll look for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve Rule Joiner.
Who wishes a second?
Second.
Mr. Jay Welder seconds. We'll do a roll call vote. Mr. Rule Joiner?
Aye.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Sorry about that. Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein? Yes. Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Dwayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Smith? Come back to that one. Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
And Mr. Joe Welch, yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Now we'll go into regular business. And I'm sorry I threw that curveball. I had the Braves on my mind for a minute. We go to item number 12, rezoning map amendment 5313 Skidaway, rezoned from RSF 10, excuse me, I, yes, 10 to OI.
Thank y'all. Yes.
I just had to grab something, sorry.
Y'all can have a seat if you want. Let staff do his report. Thank you very much. Thank y'all for being here. Go ahead, Mr. Lotson, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a request to rezone property at 5313 Skidaway Road. As I mentioned in a pre-meeting, this is a residence at this location within the Forest Park neighborhood subdivision, and it's currently zoned RSF 10. The applicant has requested the office institutional zoning classification to change this property for the purpose of redeveloping it for a professional office. This is the location of the subject property shown on this vicinity map at the northwest corner of the intersection of Duran Avenue and Skidaway Road within the Forest Park, I guess formerly Forest Hills neighborhood. As required by the ordinance, as part of the public notice, we did notify both property owners within 300 feet as well as the neighborhood associations. And there is a letter of support from the two neighborhood associations that are in and abut this property, and I'll show you those here shortly. But the corner lots, this corner lot of these intersecting streets are on the opposite corners, are developed with retail uses, personal service shops, institutional uses. As I mentioned in the pre-meeting, there's a church located this corner. There are retail uses located across Skidaway and across the intersection from the subject property or other retail uses as well. This is a tax map that shows the parcel boundaries for that, for the subject property. And the zoning map that shows the zoning of the subject parcel as well as the adjacent properties. And this is an aerial map that shows the aerial view of the subject property. We can go to this is a street view, and I wanted to share this because, and I'm sure all you are familiar with the corner of Skidaway and Durin, but for those who have been around Savannah a long time, it's different than it used to be in terms of the capacity, the amount of traffic that's on this property or that's adjacent to this property. And we've seen situations similar to this in other parts of the city where residential buildings are experiencing redevelopment pressure because of the amount of traffic and the close proximity of the traffic at times. Which I believe is the case here of this building. Now, as I mentioned also in the pre-meeting, there's been a number of houses in along the corridor that have converted to non-residential uses. This is a house on Skidaway Road, which is converted to a chiropractic office. This is the property that Mr. Noah mentioned in the pre-meeting, which is now a daycare just down the street from the subject property. This is a house that was rezoned a number of years ago to accommodate a tennis training facility. So that's a unique change. So it's got tennis courts in the back and it's a tennis facility, but this is also on Skidaway Road. This property operates as a hair salon on Skidaway Road near Savannah State University. And this is another building that was converted to accommodate a daycare as well. And finally, a building on Skidaway that converted to a women's health facility. So I show you these just to show you that there are many examples, particularly in this corridor, of changes that have occurred from a land use standpoint to accommodate non-residential uses. The applicant in the staff's conversations with her is, she's a real estate agent and she would like to operate this property as a real estate office. And one of the issues that we brought up to her for further discussion after she applied was the access to the property. So currently there's an existing driveway along Skidaway Road that gives access for the off-street parking for this residence. And the applicant did go and meet with city staff to discuss options as it related to access. She also shared with us that back in, I wanna say it was 1991, the then owner approached the city about an additional access point onto Durin Avenue. Essentially a driveway cut here on Durin. This was actually approved and never built back in 91. This is the existing access point for the property. But one of the things that we discussed, if you're gonna be converting this to a non-residential use, then a safer access is gonna be necessary than the one access point on Skidaway Road that they have now. The applicant provided this concept plan that shows the existing access point on Skidaway and an exit out onto Durin Avenue. This was done as a result of conversations with the city's traffic engineer, who recommended the additional access point at Durant Avenue. In terms of the office institutional zoning classification, staff reviewed that district as it relates to this particular piece of property and found that it would probably have a hard time meeting the standards for that district, as well as some of the uses that are permitted in that district, understanding that this property is still within a residential subdivision. And sort of as Ms. Wilson indicated during the pre-meeting, the line of demarcation between residential and commercial in this area. So even though you do have a number of residential conversions along Skidaway Road, they're very benign in nature, which this potentially could be. So what we did was we looked at the office institutional transition zoning classification, which is among the three office zoning classifications in the ordinance, it's the least intense in terms of the uses permitted. The other thing that we felt like was important with that district is that it allows single family residential as a permitted use, which the office institutional district does not. So should this be changed to the zoning classification that the applicant has requested, then the single family use would become non-conforming. Under the office institutional transition district, it would still be a conforming use, which would allow this property to operate as a residence if someone chose to, and going forward in the future, it could be used as a residence again, even if the zoning is changed. The subject property is in an area that's developed with a mix of institutional, office, retail, and residential uses. Skidaway Road and Durant Avenue are two of the primary thoroughfares to reach the island and the south side of Savannah, as well as the hospitals, Truman Parkway, et cetera. And there are many examples of residential conversions in the area on similarly trafficked roadways, such as Montgomery Crossroads, which we mentioned in the pre-meeting, Waters Avenue, White Bluff Road. These are all areas that, as traffic has increased in these places, there have been residential conversions to allow non-residential uses. We think that since the OIT district allows fewer non-residential uses, and the intent statement of that district is, and I quote, to facilitate the orderly transition of properties originally developed for residential use to limited non-residential uses. These properties are located in areas where increased automobile traffic, road widening, or other factors have diminished residential viability, resulting in the need for a transitional area to buffer surrounding residential properties. If a zoning change is recommended, we believe the OIT district would be a more compatible option. With that, staff is recommending denial of the petitioner's request for OI and an alternative OIT zoning classification. We're recommending approval with the condition that the final approval of vehicular access plan be by the City of Savannah traffic engineer, and that the erection of a 6-foot privacy fence where the subject property abuts other residentially zoned properties be required. But with that, I'll open up the floor, Mr. Chairman, and take any questions.
I notice the petitioner is right there behind you.
Yes, sir.
Sir, would you like to come forward? And both of you state your name for the record, and you're allotted 20 minutes if need be. And we'll proceed forward with questions. Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Holcomb. I'm the broker owner of Neighborhood Realty. I'm the petitioner. And
I'm Ron Muggy Walker with Today Real Estate. I represent the seller of the property.
You have anything you wish to add?
Well, one thing about the property, it's hard to find on a residential standpoint. It's very difficult to find a buyer for that property on the corner like that. We think it's best suited for commercial use of some sort. It's got its solution, we think, for the parking. It'll come in both sides of the road, and it's not going to be a big office. It's just a small real estate office that's going to be operating out of that. And it's just to me, it's just more suitable for that type use, than what a residential situation.
Any questions with commissioners? To staff, Mr. Wayne Noah?
Can you pull up the layout for the parking?
You can stay up there.
This is Wayne Noah. Can you pull up the parking layout that you had just a moment ago? And did I understand you to say that this was a recommendation from
the city traffic engineer's office?
My concern is I'm the residential office institutional. I'm okay with but the parking or the actual entrance to these properties or this property is what I have concerns. If you're going north on Skidaway Road, you'll have to cross two lanes of traffic to get into that tight singular drive coming in. I have more problems with entrance and entering and exiting the property than I do the actual. But if this was suggested, I'm just wondering why we didn't do a wraparound to keep one way in and one way out, or a right in only or something. But if staff, engineering has approved this and.
Well, let me say this, Mr. Noah. This was this exhibit was created based on discussions with the city engineer, the traffic engineer, I should say. However, our recommendation is that the final approval be granted by them, you know, prior to them occupying the building. So this may or may not be the final layout. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any commissioner on the computer? Mr. Welder?
This is Jay Milder. Is the petitioner agreeable to the office institutional transition zoning request other than office transitional? Office institutional?
If that's his recommendation, then that would be acceptable. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
This is a question I have for staff. This is Mr. Welch. The 10-foot fence?
6 foot.
6 foot, excuse me. Is that going to go across the back?
So based on the condition that we recommended, it would be along this property line and this property line, because those are the ones that are adjacent to residential properties.
Ms. Jarrett?
Karen Jarrett, and we are going to make sure that we have site distance for those intersecting driveways, correct?
Yes, and that'll be part of the traffic engineer's review of the driveway cuts.
Okay. Any further questions? Is there anybody here in the audience? Thank y'all. Thank you. Is there anybody here in the audience present? Is there anybody on the computer? If so, please raise your hand on the computer, on your computer screen, if you have a question. Try to remind you all that. No? Okay. Does the petitioner have anything else you'd like to add? Okay. Any further discussion?
Karen Jarrett, I have concerns that we just seem to be going down the same road that we did with Montgomery Crossroads, where we've got lots of little places being rezoned.
Well, I can't disagree with you, but that seems to be what's happening to this area, all up and down Skidaway. And I tend to agree with what the petitioner is saying, that what's there and how hard it is to get in and out right there. But that is becoming the norm. And, you know, I'm not here to question what the man's going to do with his business there or what's going there, but that's going to probably be the norm. And that's where we are. Mr. Joyner?
Rule Joyner, I'd like to say that's natural, but this man has already come to us and I think he's correct with saying that this property is going to be hard to sell as residential.
Yeah.
This OIT gives you the freedom to be able to do both. You're not infringing on the property rights of the owner. And also they went to the neighborhood and even gotten approval from the neighborhood president. So, you know, I think that it's time to just make a motion and vote your conscience. Thank you.
Mr. Melder?
Jay Melder, yes, I'll just associate my comments with that. And Mr. Joyner, I think this is exactly what the OIT zoning was created for in NUZO and would be an appropriate use here. And I did have a question of a point of order.
Yes, sir.
If we had to deny the request for OT and then approve it for, for OI and then approve for OIT.
I think if there's a recommendation in support, it could just be to recommend approval of the staff recommendation.
Okay. Thank you.
We can go with that. Yes, sir.
And with that said, can you pull up, sorry, Travis Coles, with that, will you please bring up the screen for the staff's recommendation, yes, just so we have the verbiage in front of us?
Okay. I look for a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the staff's recommendation of the alternate for the office institutional transitional, provided that the final approval of vehicular access is approved by the City of Savannah traffic engineer.
Second.
I'm sorry. Oh. And to amend that, to add the 6-foot fence on the property line.
Second.
Take a vote. Mr. J. Melder.
Yes.
Mr. Rule Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Joe Welch? Yes. Motion passes. Moving right along. Item 13. Special use permit. 2110 Montgomery Street, Suite A. Package and alcohol sales. Now, Ms. Leto, you need to take a swing at the bat.
Thank you. Well, actually, since the pre-meeting and up till the beginning of this meeting, I spoke with the petitioner and he wants to postpone it until the November 23rd meeting so that it gives him time, since he received 3 additional letters of objections this morning as well as last night. And also he wants to have time to meet with me so that we can mitigate any kind of issues and kind of address some things.
So we'll be moving that to November 23rd meeting?
Yes, sir.
Make note of that. Yes.
Make a motion to move it.
Second.
Second by Wayne Noah.
Take a verbal vote. All
aye.
In favor?
Yes.
Anybody object? Thank you. Now we move to item 14. Rezoning map amendment, Dean Forest Road, rezoned from RA to IL. Mr. Lotson.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and board members, commission members, rather. This request before you is a request to rezone 2.9 acre tract of land, which is currently in the RA zoning classification at the northwest quadrant of the intersection of Dean Forest Road and Landfill Road in unincorporated Chatham County. The applicant is requesting to rezone this property to the light industrial zoning classification. And this property, as I mentioned in the pre-meeting, is at the municipal boundary between the City of Savannah, which you see here in yellow, and Garden City, which you see mostly on the east side of Dean Forest Road in green on this map. So this is a tax map that shows the parcel, as I mentioned, is 2.9 acres in size. It's currently undeveloped. The applicant also operates an existing industrial site at this location. And Landfill Road is the entrance to the city's landfill, which is seen here. And this is subject property. You can see the development pattern in the area, in the immediate vicinity at least, is primarily industrial in nature. You've got existing industrial facilities here, facilities that are associated with the landfill here, and of course this warehouse, which is adjacent. Another aerial photograph of the property gives you a more of an overall view. Property immediately across Dean Forest Road is a cemetery, and all this property, including the landfill property, abuts the Southbridge neighborhood in unincorporated Chatham County. This is a zoning map that shows the subject property is the only remaining RA parcel. As I showed you on the municipal layer, all the properties to the east are in Garden City, so those are Garden City zoning designations. The petitioner, in its request to rezone to the IL classification, we believe that the development pattern in that vicinity includes industrial uses, and this would be compatible with that. This adjacent warehouse, which is 350,000 square feet plus or minus, is a significant development in that area. And the proposed zoning and the uses permitted in that district are consistent with this pattern. So we are recommending approval of the request to rezone this property, the 2.9 acres, to the light industrial zoning classification. Thank you.
Thank you. Is the petitioner here? If you'd like to come forward, please.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, and you're allotted 20 minutes time if need be.
Bill Hussey, and I'm here representing Coastal Grading. We're the company that owns this piece of property, and we just wanted to get it zoned to be able to use within our business in the same manner as everything else. It's kind of in that area now.
Okay. Does anybody, Mr. Wayne Noah, state your name? And
Wayne Noah, it's currently being operated as Coastal Grading, correct?
The company.
The company.
Yes.
Okay. I have another question for staff when it's time.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Question for staff. The landfill road, is that a public road or is that a private road? And if it is private, will this property have access to that road?
It is a private road, Mr. Noah. The applicant would have to seek access to that road through the private property owner.
Okay, but it is
private. Savannah. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a lot of traffic that would be going in and out of a grading company, possibly. Okay.
Any questions from any other commissioner, the petitioner? Anybody online, the commissioner online? Is anybody in the audience? How about on the computer? Wave your hand feature on the computer if you have a question for the petitioner. Anybody there? No? Okay. Any further discussion? Thank you, sir.
Could staff put up the recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Are you looking for a motion?
Not yet. Discussion. Okay. Anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Cole, second.
Staff's recommendation.
Yes, sir.
Please state that.
I'd like to make a motion to approve staff's recommendation. My name is Rule Joyner.
Cole, second.
Okay, we'll go to a vote. Mr. J. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Rule Joyner?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett? Yes. Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yeah.
Ms. Maureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Welch? Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Well, that takes care of old business and regular business. Thank you all for being here in the audience. We're going to go to presentations right now. Item 15 will be the Forsyth Park Master Plan presentation, draft by Ellen Harris.
Yes, sir. Miss Harris is online, and I think she's going to queue up a presentation here in just a second, so she'll be making that presentation.
Okay. Hope we can hear her well.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Are you able to hear me okay?
Very clearly. Thank you.
Great. And are you able to see my screen that shows Forsyth Park draft master plan?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. It's wonderful when technology works. Well, my name is Ellen Harris. I'm with Ethos Preservation. I want to thank you for allowing me to give this presentation today. I'm going to go through it relatively quickly, as I know some of you are already familiar with this project, but we really appreciated the opportunity to share the draft plan with you and get your feedback and comments at this stage. This is a plan that was prepared by the Friends of Forsyth in partnership with the City of Savannah. Nelson Bird Woltz, Landscape Architects, was the prime consultant for the project. And I'm just going to walk you through a little bit of the process that we went through, how we engaged the community and responded to community feedback, and where the plan is currently. So there's quite a few things that are part of the plan besides the master plan itself, including timelines, topographical survey. That's the first one that's ever been done for Forsyth Park. Tree survey, preservation inventory, project phasing recommendations that are going to include cost estimates, et cetera. We are towards the end of the process. We began with the discovery phase and received feedback from over 2,000 members of the community. We moved into the design option phase and got feedback from 2,500 community members, and now we are in the final design phase, finalizing the master plan and reaching out again to engage community members. As I mentioned earlier, one of the first things that we did was survey and inventory historic resources, and we found that certain portions of the park had higher degrees of historic integrity, which you can see in this map as the darker green, and some parts of the park had less historic integrity, usually due to additional structures and facilities that had been added. So as you can see here, this is where, as the park has evolved to accommodate modern and contemporary uses, in some of those areas, that's resulted in a less historic integrity. Excuse me. And we found even in some places, some of that contemporary structure even detracts from the historic integrity. An example of that would be the chain link fence that you see here around around the well at the southwest corner of the park. And so the master plan endeavors, where possible, to restore that historic integrity or remove that intrusion when that's appropriate. Forgot to mention one thing. Because this park is considered a cultural landscape, there are additional historic features that you don't typically think of that we identified beyond just, you know, buildings, structures, public art, etc. Things like view sheds and circulation patterns were also of critical importance to preserve. This would be an example of both a view shed and the circulation pattern as part of a cultural landscape, which would be critical. Of course, even our iconic views of the fountain are critical to preserve too. So those features were at the forefront of the planning process for the master plan. The design team provided two design options in the early phases with a conglomeration of ideas in each. This, what you see in the corner here, was design option one. We presented that to the community. And as you can see, about half the folks said, we either like it or we love it. And about half the folks were, you know, not so enamored with that particular iteration. We had a more ambitious design for design option two that included a path down the center, a bifurcated path, an arching pathway, additional parking. And the community response was very much, this is too far, we do not like it. It's, you know, it's a step beyond where we need to be, a step or two beyond where we need to be, in fact. But we also asked which parts of each of the ideas did folks like the most. And three things rose to the top. Additional park bathrooms at the south end of the park was very favorable. Biking and jogging paths separate from pedestrian paths was also seen as very favorable, and keeping parking in its current location was preferred. We, as I mentioned, we had over 2,500 responses. Most of the responses, as you would expect, were from zip codes the closest to the park. However, we were able to receive responses from just about every zip code in the city, and you know, really tried hard to make sure that we got input from everyone in the city. The city has made it clear from the outset of this project that Forsyth Park is a park for all of the residents of Savannah and not just the ones that are close by. So it was really important that we engage all residents. Based on that initial community feedback, some of the design elements were simply taken off the table not to pursue, such as this arching element, such as the bifurcated east-west access down the center of the park, new garden spaces in the north end of the park, and the playground being directly adjacent to the street. Parking areas were removed from the proposal. Some things were slated to be continue to be part of the plan, such as bathrooms, dedicated bike lanes, potential for more events, an improved band shell, et cetera. And some things we categorize as maintain. People wanted to maintain as much green space as possible, keep the parking where it is, keep the rotary playground where it is, preserve the tree canopy, and preserve the historic integrity. There's additional community feedback that we also received that is a part of the master plan, but it's too finely grained to show in this level of a drawing, and that, but it is included it will be included in the master plan, including additional drinking fountains, additional seating, better lighting, more trash cans, and bike deterrents at the north and south ends of the central spines. Getting to this point, we worked with a lot of different groups and organizations, including neighborhood organizations, historic preservation groups, the Rotary clubs, businesses along the park, all of our technical advisory groups that included, I think, every single department just about of the city of Savannah. We met with all of these folks many times over the course of the project to get their feedback as the design developed. Including at one time, I think we had seven arborists on site to look at every single tree, literally in Forsyth Park, and did a health assessment on every single one, what should be done for each individual tree. So now we'll get into where we are today with the draft master plan. This is the existing park, just to reorient you with the basketball courts, the tennis courts, that central spine, the Forsyth Park fountain, and the two dummy forts here as it currently exists. The proposed master plan calls for additional bathrooms at the south end here, clustering some of these existing buildings at this end. The basketball courts would move to the west slightly to allow for an additional playground at the south end with a water feature. This area here becomes a community gathering space so that parents, for example, could sit here, have a picnic or coffee, have the children play on the playgrounds. The parking here stays as is. The tennis courts are essentially as is. They would be resurfaced and improved, but maintain their basic placement, et cetera. There would be the potential placeholder for a new monument or public art located here along the central spine. The master plan does not dictate what that should be, or that's a community initiative that in the future, but it has identified it as a placeholder. The fragrant garden would be restored here to provide ADA access and refreshed planting, a new shade garden in this location where it currently is mostly unplanted, a children's garden here, another community gathering space here adjacent to right across from the existing Rotary playground here. The band shell would be redesigned and revamped for improvements, and a dedicated bike lane and jogging lane separated around the perimeter of the park. And the lighting, as I mentioned, would be enhanced. So in terms of children's activities, we would have a new playground with water play in this area, a children's garden, and the Rotary playground would be maintained in its current location. With an analysis of the existing light fixtures, there were many, many different kinds that have sort of evolved over the years as Forsyth Park has developed. And the lighting plan proposes a more consistent light fixture, lighting type and approach, as you can see some examples here. And that, I know that was quick. That was, I wanted to get through that presentation and leave time for questions and answers and take any comments that that you may have back to the design team. We really appreciate the opportunity, and I will now just listen to your comments and questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Harris? Yes, Ms. Jarrett.
Karen Jarrett here. I have a couple of questions. I'll start with the more practical of the questions. The children's play area, you know, I like the idea of including a water feature. I'm a little concerned that water feature play area is pretty small. I'm also really concerned that it's separated from the Rotary Park or the Rotary Playground area. You know, you're going to have kids, one who wants to be here and one who wants to be there, and parents who are struggling to figure out which way to go. And I guess that's just a general concern. My bigger concern, if you want to go ahead and address that.
Okay, no, that's a great concern, and I'm taking notes as you all are commenting. One of the comments that you know, we received was that where the two playgrounds are currently located across from each other has also been a little bit problematic for parents trying to keep an eye on both playgrounds at the same time. That, you know, you're kind of stuck in the middle there. It also kind of creates a pinch point within the center of the park that. There's just a lot of activity here. By moving it to the south, we think it's far enough that you're not going to have children running back and forth from one to the other. They will each be individual destinations. And, you know, we didn't want to just confine children's activities to one portion. So this spreads it out. But your points are well noted. I've so taken notes on them.
Okay. The other one I'm going to throw at you, and I know that you're going to say it's not in our charge, but it is a major concern of mine, the fact that we have two lanes on Whitaker and two lanes on Drayton. They both tend to be raceways. I was driving there the other day, and the little flashing lights that are supposed to allow pedestrians across, I saw three vehicles just flash, run right through them. And the pedestrian is trying to figure out how to get across the street. If we could reduce those to one lane in each direction, we might be able to push the traffic over to Montgomery and MLK, which are under redevelopment at this point, and improve their chances for redevelopment, as well as provide a bike lane and additional parking for the park, and make it a little bit safer for the pedestrians who are walking along the edge of the park there.
I do not disagree with you at all, but you're right in that it's really out of the scope of work because of the potential traffic implications that changing Whitaker and Drayton Street would have to all of downtown traffic. It needs a much broader study than we could do with this master plan. But so noted, and I certainly share your sentiments and concerns there.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Welch, I do have one concern about the playground next to a basketball court.
Yes, sir.
Only because, you know, I've myself experienced the basketball court at Lake Mare,
off Montgomery Crossroads and Sally Moo Drive, to where there is a playground by that basketball court where I have seen fights break out on the basketball court as well as foul language. That's a consideration that, you know, that's the only problem I have with a basketball court being next to a playground with children. That's something to consider as well, because that does happen.
Yes, sir. We have that's been a very frequent comment that we have received from folks. I would say probably since we've released this latest draft, that's probably the most common comment that we've gotten. We are still trying to work on solutions to that and fine tune it. I can tell you it will be heavily buffered between, but you know, some folks are expressing that a buffer is simply not enough. So we're continuing to refine that. But we appreciate that comment.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Mr. Joyner.
My only comment is lighting. Make sure this place is lit up for at night where families can feel safe to go out there. And you do spur activity, because the more activity, the less crime you'll have.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about this during the daylight, so it's out of our, you know, sort of our thought pattern. You know, that and the fact too that you guys are putting a water feature in there, I think is great, because then maybe we can now reactivate that water feature that was in the band shell that was cut off because kids were playing in it. But you know, lighting, and you know, please put the emphasis on that. We've already seen the impacts of that within the last couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. So noted. I think you'll be very pleased with the lighting plan as it comes on board. But yes. So
and
noted.
I know this is also a little bit OCD, but as far as the KWs, you're going to be getting calls, whether it's blue light or warm light or whatever. Yes. You know, just go ahead and mitigate that on the front end. And I can think of a few names right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Melder.
Thank you. Jay Melder. This is maybe a similar question that was asked earlier, and maybe not specific to Drayton and Whitaker, but did the planning give any discussion or recommendations for the city about general connectivity to the park and how we're connecting the park to the surrounding neighborhoods?
Yes. So one of the challenges of accessing the park is the topography and of the actual roads themselves as they connect. It can be very difficult even for bicyclists, but also for handicapped folks or folks in wheelchairs, or even, you know, even just strollers to navigate the really deep ruts that you see along Whitaker and Drayton streets, in particular adjacent to the park. There's quite a bit of variation there. So we are recommending improvements at all those intersections to make sure that they are ADA accessible in that regard. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Ellen, this is Travis Coles. I had actually made this comment on Facebook. I know it's probably beyond the budget of what you guys are looking at, but has consideration been made for putting a single story underground garage underneath those two fields? I feel like there's a lot of opportunity there where people could actually enter the park from within the park instead of having to cross Drayton and Whitaker. And it would just be single story away from the roots of the oak trees. It's a huge amount of space that you could basically accommodate anyone visiting the park for any event.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful suggestion, but I think it got ruled out for the cost constraint, the budget that was proposed. But yes, that would solve a lot of parking issues in the area.
So, and more specifically for that, in the layout, did you kind of allow for entrance and exit for a potential future development of a garage?
I think nothing that we're doing in terms of our planning would prevent that from happening in the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Joyner?
Rule Joyner, one more thing too, Ellen, I'd like to put in front of y'all and challenge y'all is to find some really hardy grass out there. So this can be used. I hate hearing about people trying to get applications for the use of Forsyth and they're not able to do it because of the grass, and you know, y'all get a task force together and make this thing usable where people can go and lease it for some activities and really make this a cultural hub for everyone to get a lot of return on investment. That's it.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? Any commissioner on the computer?
Yes, this is Lorraine Bowles. Related to the question about access, what was the main thought around opposition to improved east-west access?
In terms of Whitaker and Drayton Street improvements?
No, I thought you said, you know, there's the corridor down the center.
Yes.
From north to south, but there was some opposition to east-west.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand the question. So there was one of the early proposals that had an archway to connect the east and the west there's an archway that was proposed here to connect the east-west, and it was felt that that changed the character of the park to a degree that was too much. So you still do have east-west access here, particularly in the middle and at both the north and south ends, the east and west ends.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anybody else? If not, that's it. I appreciate your presentation, Ms. Harris.
Very informative. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your hard work and effort.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Hold on just a minute.
One question, Ellen, if you're still there. What's the time frame for the remainder? Did you say that earlier?
No, yeah, that's a good question. I think I neglected to. So we plan on taking the plan to City Council hopefully later this year, maybe might get pushed to the early next year. Then it is a master plan, so it is a long-term kind of project. It's not, the funding for all these different elements has not been secured and will likely occur over a period of time, but we're looking out in terms of a 50-year range.
Wrap it up. Mr. Joyner has another question.
One more question. Ellen, something to consider, cameras in the park as well. So that would be great. Anything that we can add to security would be awesome.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? We'll wrap that up. Thank you very much, Ms. Harris. Next, we'll go to the final item, 16, amended general development plan, 4704 Geechee Road. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. And this is a little bit out of the ordinary, but I thought it was important because this is an item that's going to be coming before you for action at a future meeting. But this is a project that's been ongoing for a lot of years now, frankly. The applicant is here to give you kind of an update and overview of where they are with this project. And I'm going to bring them up here in just a second. But this project is a borrow pit, and it's soon to be a former borrow pit in which the applicant purchased from the previous borrow pit operator. Their intention and what they're working toward now and have made some strides toward is developing the front portion of the property, which is here along Geechee Road, for warehouse space. That's their business. However, the seller, I guess the best way to put this is, wouldn't do the deal unless they bought the whole property. So they did. And they've made a number of changes to donate property, to conserve property, and do some other things that are pretty interesting to turn this from what frankly has been kind of an eyesore for a long time to a usable piece of property. So I want to bring them up. Mr. Jepson, Mr. Yellen, I think they're both going to maybe talk about this a little bit today. And I've got another exhibit here. I think I need to pull up this guy. But as I mentioned, this is under presentation, so no action is required today, but it will be coming back before you. a number of years ago, the MPC approved a general development plan for this property, and it included some conditions. The applicant, I think, is going to talk about that a little bit, but they're going to be requesting to amend this plan to accommodate what they're getting ready to discuss. So, Mr. Yellen. Sorry. Close it. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Yellen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just state your name for the record, sir.
Yes, sir. Harold Yellen, on behalf of the petitioner, Pure Rock. It's my first time presenting in person in over 18 months, so it's great to be back at the forum. Good to see everybody.
You too, sir.
Thank you. With me today is Jeff Jepson, who's the vice president of Evans General Contractors, and he is Pure Rock's local agent. Also, Chad Zittrauer, who's the project engineer. Thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss this project. And as Mr. Lotson has said, this will be an informal discussion. No vote will be taken, we don't believe, until the next meeting 3 weeks from today. Just a very, very quick background. There has been an approved borrow pit on this site since 2000, and there have been lots of issues, not only the unsightliness, but some compliance issues with the prior use. We are now at that phase where we are moving towards the closure of the borrow pit, and under NUZO, we have to come before you to discuss the closure. That's something brand new. Previously, a borrow pit closure was simply handled as a building permitting issue. I'm not entirely sure how this made its way into NUZO, but it did. So this is probably your first borrow pit closure matter that y'all have seen. Possibly the last, but certainly the first. This property was rezoned last year in 2020 to light industrial only on the front piece of the property. And if you're looking at the graphic, you can see that the part that has the gray undertone is the acreage that was rezoned. The petition, according to MPC staff in their report, not all of you were on MPC in 2020, but the staff report noted that the petition will serve as a catalyst to improve a site that has been unimproved for many years. It said that a rezoning to light industrial will not impact nearby properties because of industrial uses already east and west of the site, and that the proposed zoning was consistent with the development patterns in the area. As Mr. Lotson alluded to, probably the best part of this zoning petition involved something that was a bit unprecedented. We were only rezoning 61.67 acres. The part on Highway 17. So we had enormous amounts of surplus property. We have already, or we will be deeding approximately 36 acres to our neighbors. We're going to be deeding 10 acres to the city of Savannah and 216 acres to the Savannah Wildlife Rescue Center. As a result of this, what was truly once a contentious property among all neighbors, we've received letters of support from every adjoining property owner and from Jeannie Patterson, who's the director of the Savannah Wildlife Rescue Center. I do want to mention one thing, though. If you look at the bottom right corner, there is a strip that's to be deeded to the city that's 9.792 acres. We believe, depending at what time we've been talking to city staff, that it is a buffer that the city wants, but we're not sure. Between now and the next meeting, we will meet with city staff. We're not sure if it's needed because behind that, that's really an old landfill of the city's. So we're not sure about buffering between us and a landfill. As an alternative, we would consider perhaps just having that as dedicated green space. The more land we can give to Savannah Wildlife, we think the better we'll all be, but we will meet with the city between now and the next meeting. Which brings us to the general development plan. We see that there are only two matters which we think are appropriate for discussion. One is the fencing and whether there should be fencing around the borrow pit, in light of the fact that the entire area around it will be Savannah Wildlife Rescue Center, and then also sloping requirements that we think should follow the requirements of the Georgia EPD, not the new language which appears in NUZO. And with those two issues in mind, if I could call upon Mr. Jepson to come address you. He is intimately more familiar with sloping and fencing than I am, so I'll turn it over to Mr. Jepson. And Ms. Garrett, I've warned him that you're ready.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Jepson. I'm EVP and COO of Evans General Contractors, and we've been representing this group for the past 2 years. The group that owns this is not local. One member's in California, one's in Florida. So we've been working on their behalf, meeting with neighbors and finding kind of a common path forward for this entire property. MPC, when we first met with them, was focused on trying to get this entire property in compliance, even though the purchasers only wanted the front property. So we've been working very hard to that particular end. I think we've got all of the neighbors satisfied. We've actually deeded a lot of property specifically to owners, which obviously was one of the reasons they ended up giving us letters of support. And in addition to that, they've agreed to significant buffers when we went through rezoning. So the buffers from the industrial, including the 100 feet that they're donating to neighbors in certain areas, are puts us at 300 feet, which is, according to NUZO, the zoning between or the buffer between residential and industrial is typically 40, and they're up to 300. And so that provides a great area for landscaping and tree preservation. So we have a good buffer and everybody's satisfied there. The issue is that because they were forced to buy this from the last owners, there was a pit operator that had been operating this for years, Rob Lee with Lanyard Development. Rob has operated, owned and operated more borrow pits in the Savannah and Chatham County than any other operator. He is completing this work and closing this out under a handshake. He never actually has contract with the last owners, and he doesn't have a contract with the new owners, but he does live around the corner from me. He's in my Bible study, so I know him pretty well, so I trust him. But he has started and built and closed out more borrow pits, and he's done all of those under the requirements that are regulated and permitted and closed out by EPD. EPD regularly visits the site, applies their standards, and that's really what his request was and that he imparted on the owners. He's like, it's important, you know, in light of NUZO and other rules and regulations to allow us to close this out consistent to what we've already closed out 95% of the borrow pit activities on. And those specific elements are fencing around the borrow pit. As you can see, this is a very large property. The majority of this property is being donated to the Savannah Wildlife Rescue Center. So access to the water is important for the animals that they rescue. So that is a little bit easier to understand. And then in terms of benching and sloping, there's a requirement that is typically seen in and around residential developments where when you have a slope, you apply a 3-to-1 slope, which is what they're doing here. But in the event somebody falls in, there's a safety measure that people have said, hey, let's consider putting a bench or a flat area about 4 feet under the water that goes out for a period of time in case there's somebody, you know, falls in, they can stand up. That's not a requirement for the state. This is an extremely deep pit. And so to do that, it would require draining all of this work that has already been closed out with EPD. And so the request is, how do we deal with that issue? We have gone, we've met with the city of Savannah. We've met with Julie McLean and the compliance officer, Kevin. Kevin Milton. We've talked about the requests. They've agreed that the appropriate forum for these variances would be this particular forum and not city council. We've negotiated back and forth on language. We've proposed, we've given them written documents. They said they don't disagree with the request, but they're not the proper forum or entity to agree with them. And so that leaves us where we are here in that we are proposing a general development plan that resolves all the issues with all the property. It's all either being donated or developed with the appropriate buffers, subject to the two requests, variance requests. One being the fence, which I think everybody's is comfortable understanding. And then the other one is just applying the EPD 3-to-1 slope as they close out the borrow pit, as opposed to we're probably 95% closed out on all of these areas. I don't know if that this mouse does work here. So all of the areas in green have already been closed out. All of this area along this blue section is actually a commercial transaction where they're selling this acreage to McElJohn for the expansion of their manufacturing. It's already an improved industrial park. And so it's just this area right here and about half of this area right here that needs to be closed out. So it's very limited and we're at the tail end. And so that's why, and that's the background as to why that request was coming in. It's not a request that is being invented for just convenience. It's a request that's consistent with how this pit and all other pits in the county have been operated for the last 20 years. And in fact, as Rob would tell you, of all the pits he operates in Chatham County, he hasn't in 15 years hasn't had a single person from MPC, a compliance officer, or anybody come out and look and inspect all of his permitting and closeout has been exclusively with the EPD. And we're just asking that the same EPD standards apply.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Ms. Jarrett?
I do want to ask about the slope. So I understand that you have a deep pit and that sloping or putting a bench in would be prohibitive. What about reducing the slope? And I guess more specifically, it looks like on the bottom half of this picture, and I don't know which way is up. I don't see a north arrow. So the bottom half of this picture looks like it's all commercial or industrial type property.
Yes, this is all industrial here. This is McElJohn.
Okay.
This is Highway 17. This is all industrial. This was actually another borrow pit by another property
owner. On the northern side, where you have lots 3, 6, and 9?
Yeah, so this area is Garden City. Mm-hmm. This is residential. These are the neighbors that have submitted letters of support for the project, not only once, but twice. When we rezoned the property, we had letters of support from all of those particular neighbors. Those are the neighbors that are gaining the property and that have agreed to these buffers. And then in addition to supporting the project then, they have issued new letters now in support of this specific general development plan.
Okay. My concern is their children's access, whether their kids are going to be able to get to the area where the slopes are steeper and fall into a pond. No.
Yeah.
There's no fences, right? And I think it's great that we have Savannah Wildlife Rescue, which I don't know what the organization is, but I think that's a wonderful idea to provide them with these borrow pits. My concern is kids. The kids will not be able to get into it.
Well, the truth is there are fences and gates and access, and there have been people that violate. It is a trap.
I understand that you can't protect against everything.
So as a development, the water actually will probably start right about here. The development property here, there will right now people can access the property directly across this undeveloped land. In the future, this is all fenced down here as part of McElJohn. So there will be a fence. There will be a fence around the back, and there will be a fence around here. Back in here, this is all borrow pit. There's a few residential lots. In fact, the person that owns this lot is the person that got half of this land and is getting this land once we subdivide it. So there might be one or two homes, and this one is three homes here. And those are the people that said they're comfortable with it and have supported it and offered letters of support. Plus, they've gained land and we've agreed to extensive buffers. We can, as a part of the development plan, we can add some more property here or some more fence line along that 200-foot buffer.
Well, I express my concern.
Yes, ma'am.
Rural Joiner, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with borrow pits. How deep are these things?
So they start off and they will dig a borrow pit as deep as there's productive, good quality soil. And so they might go as deep as 60, 70 feet deep. And then what they do is they backfill all those borrow pits with dirt to achieve a 3-to-1 slope that's inspected by EPD. So a lot of times Some of these borrow pits will actually be completely filled back in with unsuitable dirt from various construction sites. These ones will not be completely filled in. So according to the pit operator, there could be some areas in this pit back in here that could be as deep as about 20 feet. This back pond in here is now all kind of silted in. When you walk in and look at it, it only looks 4 to 5 feet, the entire pit, based upon it being filled back in. But there are some portions of this front pond in this back corner, which are not accessible, that can be up to probably remain as deep as 20 feet. In fact, the Savannah Fire Department has asked us if they could come out and use this for their dive training.
Oh, so there's actual water. So it's...
Yeah, oh yes. Yeah, it's
60
beautiful
to 70
water.
Feet water.
Yeah, it's beautiful water.
I have a question. Is there a school anywhere near here?
So there is a school in right over here.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of that.
Gould. Gould.
Yes.
Gould and Dewander. Okay.
Liz Epstein, we're going to be decommissioning Gould in 2023, if that's any help.
Okay. Mr. Melder?
School district.
In regards to the acreage to be deeded to the city of Savannah, you'll be working with David Keating to explore that issue, hopefully.
David, yes. Is the director of real estate.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
And the PROC is, they're happy to donate it to the city, or just donate it to the wildlife. They don't have a preference. It's really just a preference if you guys want it, or if you don't want it, if you just want it as green space.
Understood. We want to look into the issue more.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
To the commissioner on the computer, would like to ask a question?
Yes, this is Lorraine Bowles. Would staff remind me what the slope requirements are under NUZO versus what's being requested here?
And just to be clear, this is Marcus Lawson. The requirements that were part of the original general development plan approval were that the property be sloped at a 3-to-1 ratio. What the applicant is requesting is that the whole project be closed out and consistent with the EPD standards. I think when we did this, what year was that? 2010? Yeah, so a long time ago. It was a little unusual in the approval at that time to include something like slopes. We don't typically do that, but it was done at that time. And frankly, that's a little bit out of our expertise, obviously, but it was 3-to-1 is what was approved. And so the petitioner's request is to remove that requirement so that the borrow pit can be closed out in conjunction with the EPD standards.
Thank and you, I thought those standards were 3-to-1. So what is the EPD standard?
It is 3-to-1.
I'm sorry, can you repeat
what was your
that?
Question? What was your question again, Ms. Bowles?
Sure. I thought the EPD standard was 3-to-1. So I'm understanding that.
Yes.
Go ahead. So I'm trying to understand what the difference is, what the ask is.
I'm sorry.
Good afternoon, Chad Zitrauer with Kern & Company, representing this project. So the issue is 3-to-1 is the same in the first 4 feet below the water table in the City of Savannah standards and in EPD standards. The difference is the City of Savannah standards are established based upon what the final water elevation is. Everything here is pumped down on this bar pit, and so we really don't have a way to establish where that final water elevation is. Once we get past the 3-to-1, the City of Savannah actually allows us to increase those slopes, going to a 3-to-2 in the next 5 feet, and then actually a 1-to-1 down below that. And that complies with the City of Savannah standards. The issue above the water table is Savannah actually requires a lesser slope, a 6-to-1 slope. And because we don't know where that final water table is, then it's difficult for code enforcement to establish and the contractor to know where that line is. And so we're asking for the variance just to comply with EPD's requirements, 3-to-1 all the way around. Everything's closed out from that standard. And we're not guessing where the water table is. The regulations do require you to go in and do soil borings and things of that nature currently. in order to determine where that is. The issue with this property is it slopes about 20 feet from front to back, actually, from an elevation standpoint. And that was not done in 2000 when the initial permit was done. So we're having issues with determining where is that final water elevation. We're proposing to get a 3-to-1.
Thank you.
Yes, thank Noah, state your name.
If she's done, are you done, Ms. Bowles?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Wayne Noah, what percentage was said that has already been closed out on this project as far as slope?
EPD has closed out approximately 90%. And EPD has, correct?
Right, yes. Right. And the other was with the city. Okay.
Any further questions? If not,
one last question. I'm sorry, Wayne Noah, for staff. Was there anything in the file that indicated why this particular requirement was placed there? I mean, if it's not our normal due diligence or any staff activity whatsoever, why did we do it? And if we don't know why, then.
And reading the history of this going back over 10 years now, the best I can tell you, Mr. Noah, is at the time, the language that we suggested we thought was consistent with EPD and, you know, for a safety issue, obviously. But I don't think we understood at that time the full breadth of what Mr. Zitra was just explaining about the differences relative to that ratio above the water and below the water.
So we don't know if this was a requirement that was suggested or placed there by the city?
No, it was a condition of approval when
right,
this was
but
done.
We don't know where that came from.
Oh, it came from MPC staff.
Why it was placed there. We do not know. We did this differently because.
Oh, I follow you.
And if the city, I was hoping you would say the city requested it or something to that effect, but.
Not that I'm aware of.
We have no clue why we.
Mr. Noah.
That's different than any other time.
Mr. Noah, this is Melanie Wilson. It could have been that at the time that this came through MPC 10 plus years ago, that the rules were different than they are right now, because EPD changed the rules, you know. So that could have also been something that was factored in at the time when staff and did the review. But I think what the applicant is asking for is basically what is consistent with what the current standards are right now. So that could have been what happened as well.
Thank you.
I think in addition, Mr. Chairman, that more than likely, based on what I've read, it was really just out of an abundance of caution to make sure that there was some language in the approval about slope. But I don't think we had a full grasp of what it could mean long term.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for bringing that to our attention, Mr. Yellen, sir. And we'll see when that comes in force.
Yeah, that's it.
On the 23rd, November 23rd. Okay. All right. With that being said, everybody have a safe week.
I have one question for staff or someone. Several months ago, we spoke about the accessory building language, and I know it had been sent back to staff for review and for them to come back to the board with a suggestion as far as size, placement, setbacks, everything. Can I get an update on that, or can we bring that back to the board? And I believe a lot of the work has been done. Are you familiar? Would you like me to?
Yeah, Mr. No, and I can explain for the other board members. We have been looking at one of the provisions of the Chatham County zoning ordinance as it relates to accessory dwellings. Accessory structures. And we gave the board a presentation on that issue. At that time, we went back and did some additional research and rewriting of a draft ordinance with county staff. We believe it's probably in a place now where we can present it back to the commission for consideration. So we can certainly bring that to you either I mean, I guess there's a couple of ways we could do it. We could either forward the language to the commission prior to our next meeting so you have an opportunity to review it. And then I'll get with the executive director to talk about placing it on the agenda for action.
I would like
That'd
to
be fine.
Recommend that it be placed on the agenda for action.
Yes,
That'd
sir.
Be fine, Ms. Dodson. Yeah. If they could forward us the material beforehand, before that meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. That being said, everybody have a safe week and meetings adjourned.